What do you do during a day like that? What did you do? I want to know what everybody did in this room during a moment like that, because it's very, it's unexpected. It's bizarre. There's a lead up to it. Like, I was working on a project at the beginning of that game. It's like, all right, afternoon baseball, guys like us, because we wake up so damn early. It's like, this is great. 1 o'clock in the afternoon, away they go. And then you get some offense going, all right, things are looking good. Here we go. Angel Martinez, yeah. And then as the game goes on, you start to go, hey, this is kind of fun. And we're getting closer and closer and closer. And then there's like, and I don't want to do too much of this right now because I want to focus on Gavin and everybody's experience during that moment. But there's also the conversation of, can I say it? Can I not say it? Who can say it and who can't say it? Who should say what? What can they say? Well, what can they not say? Like, there's a little bit of that. But, like, when do you start to realize it and how do you start to take it in? Because man, it was pensive where I was sitting yesterday watching this all go down.
Well, yeah, yesterday, so I'm dialed in early to this game thinking, well, there's no way we're really going to sweep the Mets in that lineup, and you're going up against, you know, good pitcher, all-star lefty. Like, there's no way they're just going to come through. We're not this good to just pull off. I don't care what condition or state of affairs the Mets are in. And then the second inning, you know, Gavin goes out there, walks one. Then there's a wild pitch to advance the runner. Then, all right, he gets it out. Then there's another walk. And you're like, all right, he probably doesn't have it today. Okay. So then I end up having to leave the house, running some errands. And, you know, you're paying attention, but I'm not as dialed in because I saw that inning and I'm like, oh, it's just probably going to be one of those days. That turns out to be his best game ever, which is just awesome to see how he settled down. And Austin Hedges actually had a great thought about, you know, when he went out there to the mound to talk to him. He's like, hey, dude, you know, your body language is horrific. And you know this show, we monitor body language unlike anyone else.
We do.
It is Cleveland's premier body language.
It is. Yeah. So after that, he obviously got into a rhythm. You asked the question, Ken, about how we were all taking it in. Were we refusing to say it? So I have three major text threads that started populating, and everyone was just like, hey, might want to tune into the game, and then eyeball emoji. And so it was, the stance was set, like nobody is mentioning this.
I had to be somewhere at 3:30. I watched the last 2.5 innings of this game in my car on my phone and pulled over into parking lots.
Yeah, I have to.
To watch it until the homer.
Yeah.
But I was like, I have to get there. I have to get close to this place. I walked into my meeting a few minutes late. It was okay, but I got to see it. But yeah, you're right. It was not really talking about it, just kind of going, put your eyeballs on it, right?
So yesterday it was 1 o'clock. Game started 1:10. We had to work on a project yesterday for high school football. And all the systems, like the minute we were getting ready to roll the cameras, the moment it happened, everything crashed. Internet crashed. Everything crashed. They got it back up. It's crashing. And I just decided, I was like, well, I'm just going to sit down and watch on my phone. And so you're watching the first few innings while they're working on stuff because it's like, well, the only thing I can do is get in the way. So I sat down quietly and watched as much as I could, because I wanted to see. I was like, hey, if they get a sweep, like this is big. They might only be a few games back. There might be only one game back of the wild card and just over a handful of games now in the Central Division, because Detroit lost yesterday. So what, you're 6 games back of the Central Division now. So like you can kind of see them as they're looking at you in your rearview mirror. So now we can talk about that coming up later on. However, like I'm watching, and honestly, it didn't really click until like inning six, it starts to go, well, like, because you don't want to get your hopes up too soon, because there's been guys who have done it. And also there is the factor of guys get pulled now. Like if it's not a perfect game, guys get pulled. Like, oh, you only had so many pitches. You can only have so many times we throw you out there. So guys get pulled. So then you don't want to get your hopes up too much. But I got to tell you, by the time the 7th, 8th, and 9th came around, because we got everything working, it wasn't that long of a project to work on. So I'm sitting there at my cubicle, and like the whole area is watching on TVs. And it was almost like an old-style baseball game. Where, like, remember I told you in the 90s, and old guys will tell you this from way back in the day, but in the 90s, like you would ride your bike down the street and the Indians were amazing, and you would hear Tom Hamilton like out of every garage. Like guys were working in the middle of the summer on stuff, and you'd hear doubles, triples, home runs, everything going on in the out of every garage down the road.
No singles. He never mentioned them.
No, never did. Never got really excited over those. But yesterday, it was like on every TV. And then when Juan Soto hits the home run, there's like this immediate, and then it's like, well, what an outing. What a great.
So it was disgust.
What a great.
It was disgust when he hit a home run. Because I actually felt like this was going to happen. I actually got to a point in my headspace. I've always done everything I can, downplay the expectations. It's not happening. This is going to get broken up in the seventh, the eighth. And then when you get to the ninth, now we've been here before. Like we have gotten here. You had you know, your share of terrific, one in particular, terrific defensive plays to keep this thing going that made you think, hey, this could actually be history. Mm. I mean, it's all the way back to the year I was born. Less than a month before I was born was the Len Barker perfect game.
Yes.
And so it's easy for me to always remember. It's my age. That's how long it's been since we've been able to do this. And it's the longest current drought in baseball. There have been three other droughts in the history of baseball, lengthier than this one. But this one is up there. We did wonder a few years ago, it was like 8 years ago. Did it seem like there was a no-hitter every week in Major League Baseball?
They had a weird run of it.
Yeah. And then we're like, oh, when it happens, is it even going to be as big of a deal? That,
the Guardians, the Indians still, but it was like 2021. I think they got no-hit like four times.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's right.
And there was also the changing of the baseball because, you know, Major League Baseball is a company that makes the baseball. So there was the changing of the baseball and how that happened because you can't have too many. You really can't have too many no-hitters or it kind of takes away from the specialness of a no-hitter, even though we're a team that hasn't had a no-hitter in over 6,000 games.
Spider tack and all that
stuff. Yes, all that other stuff. They took that away. They made it harder on it. So it makes the accomplishment of nearly a no-hitter that much better. But I went through a whole range of emotions right after. Because at first, I'm like, man, effing Juan Soto. And it goes back to Game 5 of the ALCS last year, where it's like, this guy does it again. And remember, I was all critical about it earlier this week when Hunter Gaddis was out there against Juan Soto. And then I did have the thought that came to my mind.
Then he was staring down and preening, and that made you so much more disgusted.
That made Mets fans mad. That made Mets fans mad.
Well, it seemed like they were on our side.
Well, I know, because there were people going, this sucks. Heads need to roll. Like, I got Mets buddies, because, you know, FAN and Infinity, and you got the same thing, where we got Mets buddies who are like, finish them off. Heads need to roll. This is enough. We're spending so much on this roster. Like, they talk about not getting their money's worth on their roster. Like, that's their big fight. And seeing that, like, they were mad that he kind of pimped the home run. And there was, when he came out, like there was a nice ovation for Gavin Williams, which is kind of the fun thing about baseball altogether. But I went from really, really mad Juan Soto hit the home run to going, at least it wasn't some call-up from Syracuse. Is Syracuse their AAA team, right?
I think so.
I was like, at least it wasn't some call-up from Syracuse. Like, it could have been worse. It could have been some stupid call-up, and then... Like, at least it was, like, he's supposed to be.
Yeah, but you hate that it was him.
$765 million.
Just like, because of what he did last year in the playoffs. Like, it's tough to get over that. And it's in some ways, he's been indicative of the payroll narratives that we've had that we'll never have a chance to have that guy, even though it seems like the Mets fans aren't even thrilled with that contract right now. It's always been that guy is like the face right now of the haves versus the have nots in baseball. And what he did to you in the postseason and now what he did to you to break that up. That's why I use the term disgusted. Now, the other flip side of this is what a weird time that would have been to make history. Middle of the day like that. People are at work. How many people would have told us today that they saw it when they really didn't? Like it would have been just would have been a fraction of the people that would have watched a normal game. And I kept thinking, is this the way we're finally going to get a no-hitter and nobody's going to see it? Let's be honest. It would have been less than 10% of the normal Guardians.
Well, I think it's in the back of a fan's mind, games you can't see. Like obviously, like if your team's out of it, and the Guardians are usually in it, so it really isn't applicable to a Guardians fan. But if your team's out of it, you kind of, all right, we're going to go get ready for football and basketball season. That's going to be the end of it. So you don't watch as much. I think there is in the back of somebody's mind games that they really are just forbidden from seeing because of maybe work or anything like that. I think there is a hope where either you win or lose, but nothing crazy happens so you don't miss anything fun. So there might have been something where somebody did know or didn't know.
Well, it was an away game, too.
You want your team to do it, but you want to be able to see it. And it was an away game as well. And so, I like, with us, when they play on the West Coast and they have, like, a 10:05 start time, it's like, just give me a nice 3-1 win. And let's just make this quiet. Nothing stupid going on out here because they're on the West Coast, and I got to be up in, like, 2 hours, and this sucks, and just get on with it. I think for a regular fan, if you didn't get to see it, maybe there was a tinge in the back of your mind just hoping, all right, maybe this is just a really great outing because I'm not going to get to see this now, and I'm really upset I'm not going to be able to get to see this. So when Juan Soto hits the home run, it's like, hey, my pitcher who's young had a really great outing. See, this is what the beauty of it is. My pitcher who's young had a really great outing. We still won the game 4-1. No big deal. No hair off anyone's ass. You're still a game out of the wild card, right? I left it up. Didn't see it this morning.
I left that game
all
thinking
the things I looked up.
One thing that I don't know if you're going to hammer me for it.
Okay, what?
I left that game thinking the Guardians have a better shot in my lifetime to win a World Series than we do a no-hitter.
That's fine. I'd still rather have a better shot to win a World Series. If they win a World Series, does anybody care about a no? Like, did anybody care that there was no hitter or no perfect game since Len Barker in 2016? No one thought a damn thing about it.
Every time we get into the sixth inning. I mean, remember it was 2015. It was Carrasco. Yeah. His got broken up in the seventh.
No, he made it to the ninth. Oh, the ninth. Carrasco had one with two outs in the ninth.
You are right. It's a cool thing to see. It's a cool thing to see, but I'll take winning baseball games. I don't need to see anything as far as a no-hitter. It's cool. Congratulations to Gavin Williams for coming close and having a good outing. It's weird to congratulate a guy on something that he'll forget in 4 days. I don't care about any of that stuff if they're winning baseball games. Everything's about winning baseball games. Like, still, again, it's 4-1. You win the baseball game. You look at what they've done here over the last 25 games. They've been fantastic. You've actually beaten a team that much is expected of the New York Mets are 63-52 overall. Like that, because you can sit there and go, well, your strength of schedule is terrible. Nah, a lot of people thought that the Mets were going to be a formidable opponent, and they are. And you pounded out a 3-2 win the other day, and then you get this win yesterday. I think a lot of people are just feeling great right now about where the team's going. And I'll continue to say, it's in spite of what the ownership allowed you to do because you did nothing in the offseason. You did nothing at the trade deadline but take away from this baseball team. But still, I don't care about the ownership in there, and I can still root for the guys that are in the clubhouse.
I think those are fans caught in arguments. I'm not thinking about payroll right now.
Well, I know. You're Anthony Dolan.
Not while this team is making a run like this. It's so funny. Somebody said, somebody was arguing, I think, with you on social media yesterday, and I saw what they wrote, and I'm like, what a nice kind of psychological elixir. They're like, Ken, just imagine all these players are making $30 million. Just like that with a magic wand. If you just thought that in your mind, then it would allow you to watch these games and enjoy what they just pulled off. This was supposed to be the hard part of the schedule among a slew of winnable series, winnable games. And now this team continues to win series. They continue to win games. They have the best record in the American League since the All-Star break. I'm not thinking about ownership payroll right now. It doesn't come up in my mind right now.
But I'll tell you, I'm not upset that they won. Certainly not. But I can tell you this, that I'm enjoying what they've done. B, we said at the trade deadline, no one's raising a white flag. This isn't a raising of the white flag. You were going to get rid of Shane Bieber. That's the way it was going to go. So it wasn't a white flag on the season. So nobody on this show said that. Second of all, and the third thing of it all is that, hey, when you sweep a team that has a payroll, what is their payroll this year?
I've seen anywhere between $320 and $340 million.
Okay, $320 million. When you sweep a team that has a $320 million payroll, don't tell me you don't feel a little bit better about that. Don't tell me you don't feel a little bit better about that as a Cleveland sports fan. Or at least a Cleveland Guardians fan. The other two teams, they spend all the money in the world and they have a capped game. You do feel a little bit better about that.
Well, I think
future of Gavin Williams.
There
I feel
are
better
people
about the
we argue that, with that just try to tell us every day if they just spent another $20, $50 million every year, we'd have all these World Series. And I'm like, man, there's so many teams that have done that and don't win the World Series ever. Yeah. So
and the Mets don't have it falling out of their pockets. So, you know, I can understand that. Can I have a DH hit for any position if we're going to make changes here in Major League Baseball? If we're going to go through all the changes of pitch clocks and everything like that, can we have a DH hit for any position instead of just the pitcher now in Major League Baseball? Because I mean, wouldn't you just rather have him out there, Austin Hedges, than put Bo Naylor out there defensively? If they're both going to hit basically the same way, I'll just have Austin Hedges out there and put a DH for somebody else. I'll let a pitcher hit. I don't care.
That's why you need Tyler Naquin to get up here and start pitching.
Fine, whatever. That's great. We just keep thinking of great ideas over here, and there's not even weed in this studio right now, Owen. Think about that, Tone.
Speak for yourself.
Man, I would have said anybody other than Nolan Jones, but fortunately, finally, they've gotten the message.
There you go.
And Nolan Jones has gone bye-bye here for a little bit.
I mean, I don't want to be mean-spirited during a great thing, but I'm really not. I mean, you look at what Austin Hedges did yesterday. I mean, that's as much as I get frustrated and go, well, you know, during the low times, I go $4 million on an extra coach for crying out loud. It's like, well, that's a manager in the making right there. You see what he did with Gavin Williams. Because I think what this did, I think a lot of us were worried about this rotation. And when Luis Ortiz is put on a paid leave list until August 31st at the earliest, which it doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon, for the gold gambling thing, because he apparently wanted to be Ace Rothstein, it hurts you a little bit because you've seen some brilliance there a little bit, and you're going, man, you know, this hasn't been a great year, but if my rotation, my young rotation, and I can find an ace out of it, maybe we're going to be really good in the long run. Maybe this is really going to work in the long run. And that took a little bit of a hit, but I'm looking at it going, hey, I know what Gavin Williams just did. That's remarkable. Slade Ciccone has pitched very well. If I can get Tanner Bibee on the right track there, you're looking better. You're looking better.
You got playoff three right rotation. There. Yeah.
You're looking better. You're looking for a playoff rotation. That's it. I mean, right now, I mean, most you can ask is three guys right there at the tippy top. Now, you know, I know that maybe it's a little bit revisionist with Slade, but it's been a nice season for him. And so yesterday, yeah, you beat the Mets, but I also think it changes your outlook for the future of the team as well as the season of the team. Because right now you're only a game and a half back of the wild card. It's become a little bit tougher as time goes on, but you still have an easier strength of schedule than – are you still at the bottom of the barrel there with strength of schedule?
No.
Where are we at?
We've moved up to 21st now, so we've 21st. Moved up quite a bit. But the one thing I will tell you is there's a toughest opponents, easiest opponents column. And the Guardians used to be one of the easiest opponents, and now they have slid over into the – they are a tough opponent for their
– they're the tougher
for the
opponent.
Team that they are playing against.
Are we going to have to pay attention to the power rankings of CBS and ESPN and all the other ones that come out weekly?
We're getting pretty close to
we
having
We should be
yes.
getting pretty close. I mean, they've played very good baseball here. I know they've played worse opponents, but at least they've been taking care of those worse opponents and winning those baseball games. So, I mean, you couldn't always ask that for crying out loud. So, I think it's – has it changed your outlook on the season? Is, I guess, what I should ask you.
Yeah, I mean, I see.
Has this, not? I mean, good God, not just a near no-hitter. I mean, that's a great thing, but guys who are on lousy teams can hit near no-hitters. Has this run as well as this changed it? Sorry, Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, obviously, I thought they were done. I thought their season was dead. You want to talk about, you know, morale of an organization. Nobody was buying what Vogt was saying when he would come on during every game of the 10-game losing streak, and he would... You know, regale everybody of we're not quitters. We felt good today. Every day he felt good about his team, no matter what. And we're like, all right, we're not getting the truth from him anymore. So we're not going to listen to what Vogt has to say. But maybe behind the scenes, and you do wonder if there's an inflection point there with the suspensions. You do wonder if the guys in that clubhouse, you know, kind of flip the switch on, you know, this season's going down a bad path. Now we got some of this contaminant out of the clubhouse. You can imagine those guys are fired up right now about everything. Think about the roller coaster of emotions.
Because you can't move on fast enough from
and
that
think
stuff.
About the trade deadline. Then you feel, look, we don't know what's true and what's not, but there's got to be some thought of betrayal in that clubhouse if you had two different pitchers, you know, doing extracurriculars that could harm your chance to win games for a team that's been a winning organization. You got to feel betrayal. Yeah. They got to be mad about it. And what are you going to do? How are you going to compartmentalize any of those feelings? How are you going to turn it into good? Well, I got an idea. Start winning series and start putting it together. And they have done that. They've been able to do that. They've got the a big part. I don't know if it's a whole fan base. They got the fan base, I think, on their side again instead of arguing payroll every day. Seems like fans, you know, you saw what a great weekend it was at home last weekend, attendance-wise. People are talking about them again.
They had sellouts last week.
So, yeah, I think that a season in baseball, as long as you got enough talent, and that's what we were wondering about, I think it can change on a dime, and I think you may have had the chance for it to do just that right now. And now they're looking at their schedule, and they are seeing some vulnerabilities with the teams ahead of them, especially Detroit, who, what does that lead down to now? Six?
Six games.
Holy cow, you're 1.5 games out of the wild card.
Ken, you asked if it changed what we thought about them.
Yeah.
Not for me, because I said a month ago they were going to make the playoffs. I feel it even stronger than now. They got swept by Detroit, and that sucked over 4th of July weekend, right? But they didn't play bad in that series. They didn't hit. That's what screwed them, right? They didn't score runs. So they lost like a 1-0 game and a 2-1 game, and then they lost one where I think they gave up 6 or 7, but it was in the 11th inning, right? Like, I thought they were okay, and then they came out and they started getting together, and they actually started scoring runs. And it's been the same way for Vogt for two seasons now. If you score less than 4 runs, you're screwed, but you could probably say that about most teams in Major League Baseball. When they go out and they can score 4 runs, they've got a legitimate chance to shut other teams down by the 6th, 7th inning. And once you get there, even though you don't always trust Gattis, right? You don't, Ken, personally. Nope. I do. He's in that setup role for a reason to me. Junis has looked good. And you have Cade Smith, who's popped into that closer role now. And now that he knows it's his, looks great in it. So if you can get to those guys, I still feel really confident about what they do.
By the way, later on in this show, I know I was critical of Stephen Vogt on Tuesday morning over all that stuff. I heard some unbelievably wild stuff about Stephen Vogt that I got to get very defensive of him later on in the show.
Was this a
Vogt
win or a Vogt loss, Ken?
It was definitely a Vogt win. You know what? I'm doubling down. It wasn't just a Gavin Williams win. It was a Vogt win as well, and I'll tell you why coming up later. However, do you know who was 2 for 4? CJ Kafis. It's time for a Kafis Corner. Mitch, hello.
Let's go, boys.
All right, what do you got, Mitch? I know that we have a great play. I know we're going to cook up a clip here. We also have a 2 for 4 rookie who's come up here, and we dedicated it to it with Kafis Corner. What do you got?
You mentioned that 2 for 4 performance by Colin Joseph Kafis yesterday. Had a pair of singles, one in the 3rd inning and one in the 9th inning. However, neither of them leading to him scoring. Did have a pair of strikeouts yesterday, both swinging, so we know he's staying aggressive early on at the plate. Currently batting .250 in his first 5 games of his career. Has a hit in 4 of those games, at least one. But the big story yesterday with Kafis was his performance on the field. This was the big play that, for the time being, saved Gavin Williams' no-hitter.
Not hit hard. Racing in. CJ Kafis, a diving catch. He hung on for out number 2 here in the 7th.
Audio via Guardians TV.
Audio courtesy of Guardians TV, just as Mitch said. I'm feeling good about CJ Kafis. You want the Kafis Corner? You want the call up happen? The call up I was more excited about Chase DeLauter being called up than he got hurt. Or the possibility of Chase DeLauter being called up than he got hurt. So
what I'm really excited about is they kept telling us, well, he's a first baseman and we got no space for him because he got Carlos Santana and Kyle Manzardo. And then you throw him into right field and he's out there doing things like that.
And he makes that play. And honestly, you wonder sometimes if some of that can be contagious, making plays.
Yes.
And I keep watching the highlight. I don't know what you guys thought. I thought for sure that Soto's home run was going to be robbed at the fence.
Well,
I keep watching the replay going, how is it not? How did he not get a glove
video
on
of it? It looks like he's going to get it. And then they show it from the side. And from the side, he didn't really have a chance. They've got that extra wall built back there.
Right, but from the normal vantage point, you're like, how does he not at least knock it down? How does he not get to it? But it was awesome to see Kafis, and that's what had me excited was when you make a play like that in a no-hitter to preserve something like that. Every no-hitter we've ever seen has had some kind of theatrics and an amazing catch that you're like, there's no, the gods are on our, the baseball gods are on our sides. And I thought the baseball gods were on our side.
Well, and remember, we all thought before Kafis came up, and it was a big talking point after this weekend, was he's not as big as I thought he was going to be. We all expected this big power hitter that's going to come in with this wide frame. Well, maybe the not having the wide frame helps him be able to move a little more in the outfield whenever he's stepping into that role.
I was going to do it out of spite because I had other points to make against a argument I heard yesterday afternoon during afternoon drive about this almost no-hitter and how Stephen Vogt handled it. I'll get into all the minutiae of that coming up later in the show. There is one thing, though, what I loved what Stephen Vogt did. Here is Stephen Vogt after the game talking about, was he looking at pitch count? Did he even talk to Gavin?
One of the things, you look at the velo. The velo was still there. The stuff was crisp. I didn't dare ask him how he was feeling. I didn't talk to Carl or Albie the whole game. It was one of those things with a four-run lead like that, you got to let him go. You don't know how many chances these pitchers ever going to have to do it. So he was going to get to go the whole way.
Listen, you ain't got, and there was some criticism yesterday afternoon about it, and I'll get deeper into that coming up later in the show, as I just said. Respectfully, of course. But you don't have much to go on with this team. You have a chance here. You're looking at a chance here where everybody's in. Everybody's buying into this. You're playing good baseball. You're back. How many times have you seen it so easy where teams can just call it a day and you're out there playing out the stretch? You're not doing that. Here you have a golden opportunity dropped in your lap. I mean, I've been critical of him. We were critical of him during the beginning of the 10-game losing streak for not going out there and getting himself thrown out when Jose Ramirez got thrown at. Because he should have went out there, raised hell, got himself thrown out of the baseball game. It's a cheap pop, but it worked. This, it's like, hey, I believe in my guys. I'm putting my guy back out there. In fact, I'm a former catcher. I just stopped catching a couple years ago because he's a young guy. If anybody is supposed to know how to handle a pitcher, it's supposed to be a catcher, and he handled it the right way. That this is, hey, this is a Gavin Williams win. This is a great win. Vote win. Definitely a vote win. Marked in the calendar, Tone.
Or a Hedges win, too.
Hedges win as well. You want to put that in there? Fine.
So I totally agree with you. And look, this is, I know in sports we're all trying to get smarter. And this is something that probably, if you've heard, you know, anyone talk about basketball, it's become nauseating over the years about, well, this is the formula. This is how you win. Shoot the three. Shoot as many threes. Then the coach after the game. What does the coach say after the game? Oh, well, we got good looks. We got good looks. And it becomes nauseating because you're like, well, you have to learn how to play other ways. You have to figure out a way to not be a slave of the numbers. Well, finally, here in baseball, we've trended towards numbers, 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 everything, either strikeout, home run, that's okay. Line them up, keep swinging. And it's like, well, sometimes you got to figure out other ways to win ball games or to just revert back to baseball. Mm-hmm. It's this sport that we all played first growing up. And what's one of the things that we all thought separated baseball from every other sport, which is gut feeling. Sometimes the manager just has to have a gut feeling. And yesterday, your manager, and tell me what plays in a clubhouse better than this. A manager rode his arm. He rode his pitcher. And he even admitted after the game, he's like, I didn't talk to him. And I know in the afternoon show was like, what? What do you mean you didn't talk to him? And he's like, yeah, I'm a catcher. I didn't talk to him. We didn't have all the communication. Sometimes you get bogged down. It's paralysis by overanalysis. Yeah, you could have those guys sitting there on the bench in the clubhouse biting their fingernails, trying to avoid the elephant in the room, and then seeing that pitching number go up and go up and go up. And we all saw he struggled in that second inning, so there was a lot of undue stress because of the two walks, a wild pitch, and everything, but he settled down. And you know what? You had a manager dialed into one thing and one thing only yesterday, and that was his players. He listened to his players in a way. I know it sounds crazy. He didn't talk to his catcher, but talk to his pitcher, but he listened to his players. Yesterday, you had a manager that I think bought himself even more credibility with the rest of his team by not doing what all these managers are doing in baseball right now, which is to show me the number. Anybody can do that. Guys, anybody can manage from their radio studios from 2 to 7 at the Halley Building. Anybody can do that.
Oh, the gloves are off.
That's the easiest thing in the world. But why do we pay you?
I wanted to save it.
Why,
go ahead.
Why do we pay you? We pay you to have an understanding of your baseball team. And right now,
This I thought you were talking about why do you pay the guys from 2 to 7.
No,
I went, whoa.
They
hear your thoughts on that.
You know what? No, they deserved what they got paid yesterday because I got fired up. I got fired up listening to Jonathan and Nick because I'm like, man, they just rode Gavin Williams. Ooh. He might have yesterday. I don't want to be overreactionary, but it's going to sound that way. Yesterday, he might have became the ace. And you know how I know that? Because the manager trusted him.
A lot of people are saying it.
The manager trusted him to go the distance, and thank God they gave him the chance.
A lot of people saying
it. I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
Now, that being put out there, I had to ask the question on Twitter, because there's two superstitions in sports that I really hate. I think that, like, Punxsutawney Phil. Punxsutawney Phil's cute. You go out there, you sit there, it's just like the movie. And you got, what, Andy McDowell, who's in the movie with Bill Murray. And you go out there and you see the groundhog, and it's a giant rodent. And people like to go through that superstition and that whole tradition. I like ghost stories. I like the macabre. I like some of the other things. I mean, there's a lot of fun to superstition that I have. Two things that annoy me. One is the Madden curse. There's no curse on a video game. The other thing that annoys me is yelling at people for saying no hitter. I was getting tweets about Tom Hamilton saying no hitter. And my thought was, guys, don't be blaming the play-by-play guy over saying no-hitter. There were people who were annoyed that it said no-hitter alert on the broadcast on the lower third.
Even though they're not talking about it, you
was.
Can see it.
Yes. That all said, I still won't say it. I still don't want to be... I don't know why it seems so stupid. It probably is stupid to be that way. I'm annoyed by anybody who gets annoyed by it or gets upset and says that you're going to cost our team, you're going to jinx our team, but I still won't do it. I still can't bring myself. Like yesterday, I had somebody go like, all I'll say, Kenny, as we came back in from the studio, all I'll say, Kenny, is there's been a lot of outs in a row. And in my head, I'm like, well, just tell me. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to say it, so why am I just going to tell him?
Well, Anthony Alott was doing the updates yesterday during the afternoon show, and he was kind of dancing around it. I don't think he used the term no hitter. Now,
What does a young kid like Anthony Alott do in that situation? Because it's like, hey, Tom Hamilton has gravitas. If you're critical of Tom Hamilton, you can go cram it with the walnuts ugly.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
so. Hall of Famer.
That's a Hall of Famer saying. But Anthony Alott's just starting out. Anthony Alott's just a pup.
And absolutely, I heard people talking about how Tom was addressing it. Everybody has their way to do it. But yesterday, Nick and Jonathan were kind of questioning how Anthony was handling it too. And he kind of hung
tough.
In there steadfast. Like he was not tough. He didn't say no hitter, right, Mitch? I don't think he said no hitter at any point.
He could say that he's technically a journalist, a Big J journalist, a Silver Sal Award winner, and say that he has to give the news. Where's Jeff Thomas? I might have to bring in Jeff on this.
And we need the veterans.
Because I need the veterans. But I also think that the veterans are in a different place than where the young guys are. You may cave to the pressure. I also know that, hey, you know, we're not talking about tariffs and hostage negotiations and things like that. This is professional sports, for crying out
loud.
And
that's part of the fun,
maybe
though.
It's part of the fun is that you don't mention that it's a no-hitter.
Again, Stephen Vogt didn't even talk to his pitcher yesterday while this was going on.
Hedges didn't talk to his pitcher yesterday. And Hedges was the one calling the signals and saying, Gavin brought that up, too, in the postgame. He goes, it's not like he was over there going, okay, now we need three more, young kid. Get out there. Let's throw two curveballs and a slider.
You know what? That is one thing that is such a throwback in baseball that I do love. That's something as ridiculous, right? As ridiculous as don't jinx a no-hitter. Don't upset. Don't awaken the baseball gods. Like, I kind of love that. I kind of love... Once in a while, it's fun to get silly about this stuff. We don't have to overanalyze and look at a pitch count number.
Are you saying that they shouldn't do it? Or are you saying that that's part of the fun?
I wouldn't do it if I were doing, man, it's been so long since I've done baseball, and I didn't come close to having a situation like this.
I was never in
like
the situation,
this.
No.
But
I always wondered what I would do.
I would do everything. Maybe I'd get a little too cute dancing around it, and maybe some people would be frustrated by that, but I'm not ever using the term no-hitter.
Right now, it's 60-40 that says that you can jinx a no-hitter by doing that. By outside people saying that. Which I don't think Bob Feller's up in heaven giving a damn what I have to say about a no-hitter, right? It's like he's not going to strike it down and say that you're not going to have a no-hitter. But I do think there is a little bit of a difference. Like, I don't know if Jeff can hear me. Would Jeff say no-hitter during a game? Has Jeff ever said no-hitter during a game?
Hello, Ken.
Hi, Jeff. I didn't know. I know you work on things, so I didn't want to like call
That's
you out
okay.
on anything.
Well,
I
can tell you, I used to do Akron Zips baseball games back in the day, and there was a situation. It was a seven-inning game, and a guy for the Zips had like a no-hitter through five. So I said on the air, look, it's going to happen whether I say it or not. So I said, hey, guy's throwing a no-hitter. And granted, the next inning, he lost no-hitter. And this was back in the old days when it was just Lee Jackson Field. There was no ballpark on campus.
Ballpark, yeah.
You're basically sitting behind, you know, the dugout area. I got some dirty looks from the Zips. But you know what? Hey, either it's going to happen or not happen. I doesn't mean a damn whether I say it or not. So, unfortunately, he lost it. I didn't lose it for him.
Did any of those guys go on to be major leaguers?
Was
not
that, Jeff,
I know
of. Was See, that a Jeff go. Thomas loss? You know, I just think that's your job. When you're doing a game on the radio, I don't fault Tom Hamilton at all for saying it over and over because you can't see what's going on. He has to tell you what's happening, which is what I was doing on the radio. You got to tell folks. If a guy's throwing a no-hitter, you got to say he's throwing a no-hitter.
But also at the same time, Jeff, okay, and I know we got to go, but I got to think about it like this. You've been doing this a long time. Tom Hamilton's been doing it a long time. Is there a difference, do you believe, between like you, Tom, Anthony Lant, who's just, he's just starting out
after
college.
Well, he's a child. Let's just start
there.
Anthony's a child.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
He doesn't know a damn thing. Why we hired him, I still don't know.
He needs a mentor,
Jeff. He's a nice young man. He's a good young man.
He needs a mentor. Where's he going to find one?
He found one right here. Me. I'm going to be Anthony's mentor. Better start eating, kid.